everything on?
I hope.
Well, we'll find out one way or the other.
Most of the time, we'll leave something off. We'll try to get everything on today. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem.
And
Shine on.
Shine on.
Jesus. you, ladies.
We're all about celebrating the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King. Luke 2, if you will, please. Christmas is a wonderful time of year. I say it over and over again. Beautiful colors, sparkling lights, decorations everywhere, special music playing about everywhere you go. You can hear Christmas music. This morning in our service, we have seen it, heard it. We have different schedules. Kids are out of school. Some people are out of work, vacation-wise. exciting activities, people getting together as families, etc. there, fellowship. Vic and I was talking, and you know that this Christmas, is the first time in 38 years that we'll wake up without having a kid in the house at Christmas. James was born in 79, and we've had kids at home for Christmas ever since. Anyway, there's differences, and there's celebrations. I love Christmas all together there. Lisa and Josh will get to come. I think they're coming in Thursday. Robert and Aaron will come over tomorrow for lunch or afternoon or supper or something. And there'll be times there that we get to share. But there's something else that's very wonderful about Christmas. And, of course, that's the message, the Christ of Christmas, the Christ of the message there. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ has many interesting and uplifting truths about it there. God's plan that He had from the very beginning, that He revealed in prophecy, that He revealed in the unveiling of His Son coming to be born and put into human flesh. The people that were involved, as you think about and trace through all of the different people this morning in Sunday school, we gave some contemplation as to some of the things that they would have been going through. And some, Mary, for instance, if you could place it into this day and time, if one of you walked in and to your fiancé and you were 3 months pregnant and he knows that the two of you had not been together, there's only one other conclusion to draw. Humanly speaking, and this had never happened before, yet God had prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. And God made it clear, both through the angel Gabriel, to Mary and to Joseph, exactly what was going on. But can you imagine the talk behind their back that they put up with in that day? The things that were said that is there. Many people involved, the places, and God's control in bringing it all together. One of the things that I thought about this morning, too, as Sunday school was going on, is in the genealogies that are involved. You know that God, from the very beginning, had all of that planned, that it could be traced, His kingly line, both from Joseph as well as from Mary. Right on back. And so all of these things are within God's control of what He did, and the purposes all have a great significance as we think about those things. But today I want to look at a little different approach as we look at this particular message. There are three Christmas titles of the Lord Jesus Christ that I want us to see. And within those titles are three calls that these titles place upon our lives. Because He is these three things, what does that mean to us? And how are we to approach Him in regards to that? So I've entitled the message, The Call of Christmas. Father, I pray that as we are reminded of these things, and Lord, this is not anything new. This is not anything that we could say we've never heard before, for at least most of us. I pray that You would help us to be attentive, and that we would understand as we are reminded of these truths exactly what they mean to us and how we should approach You in regards to who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what we see Him specifically through these titles. Lord, I pray that You'd help me to share clearly and that Your power be upon Your Word and that you would allow us, Lord, to be impacted because of it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are several titles of the Lord Jesus Christ in dealing or in regards to the Christmas theme and the connection with Christmas. Isaiah tells that He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We're also told that He is Emmanuel. There's God with us. God the Son took on human flesh, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. There at Bethlehem, in Bethlehem, at the time of Christmas that we celebrate this time of year. And so we have all of these things that are together, but I want us to look at three in particular. And these titles are not only connected here with Christmas and with the theme in the message of Christmas, but they are woven throughout all of Scripture that we find these truths. This first one is most basic, but I think it is the most important, as you shall see. Here in Luke 2, beginning in verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We have the title there that this Savior is born. He is the Savior. It reveals a very important purpose of Christ coming here into the world. Matter of fact, the name Jesus that God had given to Him means Jehovah is salvation. And some people that do not understand would say, well, saved from what? What is He a Savior for? People ask others, I said, have you ever been saved? And, you know, some people look at them and say, well, what are you talking about? You know, when I was a kid, somebody saved me from drowning. I guess I've been saved. What does that mean? You see, it's church wording that you know what it means, but people that are out in the world today, they don't have a clue about what it means to be saved. Saved from what? And, of course, the answer to that, obviously, is saved from the penalty of our sin. For the wages of sin is death, and not just a physical death, but being separated from God in His all goodness and blessing, etc., in a place of torment called hell and the lake of fire. That is the truth of God's Word about what is in store for every person that is born into this world, unless they come to the Savior and they respond to the Savior. So we have Jesus, and Jehovah is salvation. In Matthew 1:21, it says, He shall save His people from their sins. In John 3:16, y'all know that verse so good, I would say that many of you could quote it right now, or quote it when you get home. Right now you might be too nervous to stand up and do it, but most of you, I think, could do that. But in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." What does the word perish mean? Should not die and have to go to hell for the judgment of their sin, but have everlasting life with God in heaven, it's talking about there. And then the next verse, it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And so that's what we have here as Savior. That's why He is the Savior. This seems to be basic. We hear it so often, but there are so many who do not know who Jesus is or what He has done for them. You're going to meet those people, and some of you work beside them in your workplace. Some of you have them actually in your family that you may be going to a Christmas dinner with, or sometime during the holiday here, you're meeting with them. And you know that they're going to be differences of opinion about who Jesus is and what this is all about. Could I take a side note here and tell you something that Vicki and I was talking about yesterday? Please do not tell people what you think. Exactly. When a person says that they think or that they believe that such and such is true, maybe it's okay to have, you know, different kind of marriages these days, or not even to be married. It's okay for a woman to choose to have an abortion, or it's okay to be homosexual, etc. It's okay, and the list goes on and on and on, and that we should be tolerant and so forth, etc. there. If they say that, don't come back and say, but I think, or I believe, and certainly don't say, but my pastor said. Because we're not concerned about what you think. We're concerned about what God thinks. And what God thinks is written right here in His Word to us. And that is the authority, not your opinion, not my opinion. They don't count for anything. You can argue opinions all day, but this is something you cannot argue about. If God says that's the way it is, then that's the truth. That's why we believe it. We don't have any vendetta against any particular people group or opinions that are out there in the world. We're just saying, look, let me tell you what God says. And if it's God's heaven you want to go to, it might be a good idea to find out what God says about how to get there. And that's the key to it there. It's not how you believe, or it's not the Baptist way or anything of that nature, but it's what God's Word says there. He is the Savior from our sins there. Some people don't know what Jesus Christ has done, who He is, and what it's all about there. They have opinions, they have thoughts, they may even have beliefs. But until they have connected that with the truth of God's Word, it's just their opinion, it's just their beliefs, it's just their thoughts. And to tell you, apart from God's Word, it goes astray so quickly and so easily. Therefore, we should never tire of being reminded of God's Christmas purpose there, which is to be a Savior that was born. We should never tire of reminding others of God's Christmas purpose. That is, it is a Savior born for them. And that is so important to understand. Jesus is the Savior. The second title that we see there is, if you'll turn with me to Jeremiah 23. In Jeremiah 23, in verse 5, we'll get there in just a moment. Just recently I shared, a couple times actually recently here on different occasions, about John chapter 18 and verse 37 as Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate said there, said, are you a king then? And Jesus responded, for this reason I was born, for this cause that came out into the world, not talking about being king, but to bear witness of the truth, he went on to say. But I was quick to say there, it doesn't mean that Jesus was not a king. He was. And these statements here will reveal it, this title of being king. And Matthew, before we get to Jeremiah, Matthew 2:2, you remember the wise men came about a year after Jesus was born. They were in the house at that time, and the wise men came and asked, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And so it is the king that was born that is there. Even on at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, you remember the sign they put on top of the cross there, Jesus, king of the Jews. Why? Because it all came out of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. When the wise men came and asked Herod, where is this one that's born king of the Jews? Herod turned to the wise men there, the counselors and so forth that were of the scriptures, and said, where is he supposed to be born? And they knew exactly. They quoted to him there, told him what Micah 5:2 says, which is, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. You see, they were looking for the Christ. They were looking for the one that would be born in Bethlehem there, that would be ruler. And to the Jews, that meant to be king in Israel, whose going forth had been from old, from everlasting, the verse goes on to say. And so they were looking at it, but more clearly here in Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, where it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. All right, that's a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ to be born there. A righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And that speaks specifically there of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that fulfillment is tied to it. So the first coming of the Savior, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was as a Savior. The second coming, though, of the Lord Jesus Christ will be as the Sovereign. The first time He came as the Savior, the second time He will come as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we need to understand that. Jesus is Savior, but as Christ, He was born King of all the universe. The third title we have is that of Lord itself. If you'll look with me over to Philippians chapter 2, the Bible records Jesus our Lord 7 times, Jesus Christ our Lord 9 times, Lord Jesus 34 times, and Lord Jesus Christ 81 times. That's 131 times specifically it is given there. There are many verses that communicate this truth other than statements like that, such as in Acts 10 and verse 36, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ there, or Jesus Christ, it says there, He is Lord of all. And so you have other passages that state it very clearly, not just the titles of it there. But most powerful passage is here in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, where it describes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The mind that He had there was one of humility, as we'll see, "who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery," or something to be grasped after or held on to be equal with God, "but He made Himself of no reputation." Some say that He emptied Himself. He laid aside the free exercise of His godly attributes and confined Himself. He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He took on human flesh. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself even further there. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. So we see that He humbled Himself to be put into a human body, to lay aside the free exercise of His godly attributes. He humbled Himself further to be obedient, to even die in that human form. And He humbled Himself even further than that, that the death would not just be any death, but it would be death of crucifixion on a cross. He was willing to do all of that in humility before us. But notice, "Wherefore, for this reason," there, verse 9, "God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth." Think about those three areas there, domain. Every knee will bow of things in heaven. What things are in heaven there? All the angels of God. Of things on the earth, that's every human being. Of things under the earth, that's even the lost souls of those that have died, hell itself. Every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. And verse 11, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is," what's the word? "He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Every tongue, from angel to man, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the most foolish, is the word God uses, person that is exclaimed, "There is no God," even that person will bow the knee and his tongue will say, "Jesus Christ is Lord of all." That is the truth of what shall take place. There will be no denying it. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Savior. He is King. He is Lord. So what? What does that mean to us? What are the calls that come to us from Christ's titles? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How are we to come unto the Lord? What are the calls of how we are to come to Him. Well, we see it through each one of these titles. As Savior, we're to come and to trust Him. As Savior, He has completed everything that was necessary to satisfy a holy and just God when it comes to the penalty of our sin. You see, because I'm a sinner, I have a penalty of that sin. The wages of sin is death. But because of God's love, He sent His Son. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ's love, He demonstrated His love for me in that while I was still a sinner, He died for me. Greater love, Jesus said, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus Christ laid down His life there on Calvary because of His love for us. And we have that love gift here that we celebrate at Christmas because He was born for the purpose of dying on Calvary's cross. He came to the world specifically for that reason, and that's why we see here as Savior, He provided everything that was necessary to take care of my sin debt and to give me His righteousness in its place there. What are we then to do? How do we make this forgiveness of sin ours? John 1:12 tells us, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the child of God, even to those that believe on His name." So there are two things that verse says there. We're to believe and we're to receive. Those two things are important with that. Can I illustrate it this way? I've done this before. Let me grab me a chair back here. I'm going to put this chair right here. And I'm going to ask you, do you believe that this chair can hold me up? You believe this chair can hold me up? I haven't checked this particular chair. I believe this chair can hold me up, though. Is this chair holding me up? No. Now, I believe it, but it's not holding me up. You see, you can say, I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that He died on the cross. I believe that He rose again. James, the book of James says, the devil also believes and trembles. But I guarantee you, according to Scripture, he'll never be in heaven for eternity. It's not enough just to believe the facts, but you've got to put your trust in it. Here's another question. Am I trusting this chair to hold me now? It's a trick question, isn't it? I'm still holding on to this pulpit right here, you see. Some of my weight's on my hand. You know what that represents? That's the person that says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was baptized. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a member of the church. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm trying to do the best I can. You see, they're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, and they're adding something to it. When you add anything to the Lord Jesus Christ, you just nullified the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He didn't come to be part of the answer. He came to be the only answer. I am the way. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So only when I put all of my weight onto this chair am I trusting this chair to hold me, you see. And when you put all of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that's the only thing that you're depending on, that is the salvation that is there. That's what it means there to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so it says there we're to believe, and then we are to make a decision to receive Him. He is the gift of God that gives us eternal life there, that takes away our sin. And like with any gift, all we have to do is believe that it's genuinely offered to us. And by faith, we just step out and say, I want it, and we receive it. It'd be nice to say thank you in regards to. But you can say, I believe it's for me, and still walk away without receiving it. So as Savior, we're to come and trust Him as our Savior. As King, we're to come and worship Him. We sing the carol, come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Matthew 2:2 says, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Our choir has sung before, and we'll sing it tonight if you come to the service tonight. "Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born." You see, we are to worship the King. What is worship? It comes really as two words there, worth and ship. It is thinking about the greatness of God, His worth. It's responding to that worth in praise and in thanksgiving. Singing, testifying, blessing God's name. Do you know what that means, to bless God's name? It means to say good things about God's name. We're to do these things as part of our worship of Him. And it's to come from our heart, not just going through the motions of what is there. Because He is King, we're to come and we're to worship the King. As Lord, we're to come and to obey Him, to serve Him. Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll see. In Matthew chapter 6, as Lord, how are we to respond to Him? Lord means Master. As Master, His will should be our will. That's submission. Saying, "Lord, what do you want from me?" And we're in agreement with it. We surrender to it. You know that when we get saved, Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Folks, let me tell you something. Trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior is not just a get out of fire free, get out of hell free ticket. He's not only Savior, but He's also Lord. And we are to confess the Lord Jesus. We may not understand all of what that means to begin with, but He is Lord as well. He is Master as well. And it should be that we're in submission to Him. Remember Philippians 2 there, every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess their submission unto Him. We sing the hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give." Do we mean that? Is it surrender to Him as Lord? I will ever love and trust Him in His presence, daily live. One of the main reasons why we don't obey Christ is we don't trust Him. We'll say that we do. We'll say that He is Lord. But we need to really not only acknowledge Him as our Lord, but we need to demonstrate that He is Lord. The song, children's song that we sing with our kids, and we've sung it with you adults as well. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands. Doing it happily. Action is the key. Doing it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And so it's not just saying that He is Lord, but it's showing that He is Lord through our obedience, through our service unto Him. Here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 came to my mind, that no man can serve two masters. All right, that's He is a Lord, a Master. You can't have two masters. Why? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Well, it could be a lot of different things. The establishment, it could be money, it could be anything you want to put there. You can't serve God and whatever you want to fill in the blank for. Like salvation, it's not Jesus and. And if He is Lord, it's only Him, you see. And so, here's another thing that Vicki and I was talking about. Excuse the time there. You can go anywhere else to go. I'm sure. But understand this. That when you're talking with friends and loved ones and co-workers, etc., like at Christmas time here, and the subjects come up, What is the answer that you're going to give to the questions that they have? And we live in a world today that's bombarded. Our young people and you yourself are bombarded from every angle, whether it be television or movies, whether it be athletes or movie stars or whatever. There are people out there that have opinions. Vicki was asking as we were talking, and she said, how do we help, and this was about our young people specifically, how do we help our young people to, when they hear all of what these other people are saying, not to be swayed to that? My answer was, there's two kind of people. There's one, when they hear all of that, they ask themselves, so what should I believe? That's not the kind of person I want to be. Here's the kind of person I want to be, the second one. When they hear all of that, they ask, what is it that God's Word says that I should believe? You see the difference? It all comes back to this. It's not who's right, because there's only one that's right, and that's God. And so when you hear all of these things, are you going to be like the verse says here? You're going to hold to the one and despise the other? You know what the word despise means? To disregard. When we look at the world and we disregard what God says, He says, you've chosen your master, and it's not me. No man, no person can serve two masters. Who is your Lord? It's been said that He is either Lord of all or He is not Lord at all. We need to evaluate. So every head bow, please. Could I ask you as we close? We're to come and trust the Savior. We're to worship the King, and we're to serve and obey the Lord. So my first question is this: have you trusted Christ as Savior? I think many of you have genuinely done that. But I'm not confident enough to say that every person in here today has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I believe it's very possible to be someone that has not. What's going to be your response? He loved you enough to die on Calvary's cross. That's the only way that your sin can be paid for. You can choose to receive Him only, or you can choose to walk away without Him. But if you choose not to receive Him only, you're choosing to die and go to hell for all eternity. Understand the choice. Have you trusted Christ? Do you worship the King, Christian? Thinking of His worth and responding in praise and thanks and blessing His name? Is He really your Lord, Christian? Can others see it? Can your spouse? Can your children see it? Young people, can your parents see that He is your Lord? Can your co-workers recognize it? Your classmates at school, young people? One of the great gifts we can give to Jesus is our proper recognition of who He is. And in light of that, our proper response in coming to Him. I hope that you'll continue to make this Christmas all about Him. And it starts with our decision this morning. What will it be? Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know for sure that they have trusted You, that You would allow them to make that choice before they leave in just a moment. For every one of us that know that we have trusted Christ, Lord, I pray that we are worshiping Him from our heart
and that we are recognizing and acknowledging Him as our Lord, and we are demonstrating it by our submission to His will. Help us to be open and acknowledging and obedient to Your truth in the Word of God. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.